In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Like most of you, we clergy love Christmas. We love everything about Christmas. And we would do these services all day long, 1 hour at a time, just to enjoy Christmas. We love it. We love all there is to it except one thing, and it is a conversation among clergy annually, which is, what do you do with a sermon on Christmas Eve? And there's sort of two different schools of thought on that. One is, how do you preach about the same story every year, 5 years in a row, 10 years in a row, 25 years in a row, 50 years in a row, Frank? How do you preach the same story? You know, a lot of clergy say, well, maybe it'd be a good time just to have a whole musical presentation, and we'll just have the choir sing for us so we don't have to preach. But I disagree with that. I mean, really, we're preaching the same story every Sunday, over and over and over, aren't we? Every sermon that we preach is about the birth of Jesus. It's about Jesus being raised from the dead. It is about Jesus. That's all we ever talk about. So this should be no different. Now, another group of clergy think this. They think, now you've got them. You know, you've got your active clergy, your active parishioners who come regularly, but you've also got those who don't come quite as often, but they're probably going to show up on Christmas Eve. You got those who only come once in a while, they're going to show up on Christmas Eve. You're even going to have some company. You're going to have friends who don't go to your church. Now's your time to get them, to tell them, throw some oughts and some shoulds in the sermon. Make sure they're living a good Christian life. You might as well even finish your stewardship drive on Christmas Eve. Now's your shot. But I think the challenge is different. Because I think what we're here to do tonight, of all nights, is to move together into a liminal space, into a different kind of time entirely. And we will spend this hour being in two places at once. Christmas Eve is the time when, regardless of what's going on outside the doors of this church, for this hour, we make our way into this sacred space and we enter into the perpetual present tense. The perpetual present tense. You know what I'm talking about? It's when two things are happening simultaneously. Jesus was born, and yet Jesus is being born right this minute. You know what this is like in other contexts. Recently, and I don't really know what to make of this, but both Chris's mother and my mother have returned to us photographs of our children from when they were small. I don't know why both of our mothers thought we needed these pictures back. But we got them back. And so there's a little photo album of little children, and it's when they were babies and, you know, holding them in mom's hand or dad's hands or ours. And so we're looking through those, and I had this experience of being one place, two places simultaneously at the very same time. One, I turned the page, and there was a picture of some family members out in front of our old barn in McKinney. It was a great old wooden barn, and there's five or six of us in the picture, and there's snow on the ground, because it didn't snow that much in McKinney, so it was unusual. So we took our picture. It was clearly Christmas time, and for just a second, I could smell the barn. I could feel the cold wind on my cheeks, and I was in that picture just for a second. Turn the photo album to another picture, and it's of both of our boys when they were, I don't know, 5 and 6 maybe, and they're standing in a mud puddle up to their knees in mud, and they're covered head to toe in mud. It was a great picture. We had it forever framed, and we had a little sign I made under it that said, "Boys in their natural habitat." Yeah. There was a low spot in our driveway in McKinney, and it filled up with water every time it rained, or there was a water leak in the house, and those happened about the same amount of times a year. And they were covered from head to toe. Colton is laughing. He's leaning away from Caleb. And Caleb has his hand around Colton's neck and his hand on his throat, actually. And he's got that little smile that's just his. It's a great picture. And for just a second, I could feel the sun on my face. I could remember what it's like to stand right there and watch those little boys play in the dirt. Two places at once. And finally, I turned the picture again, and it was actually a stack Mom brought home from Virginia. It was a picture of our wedding, and the wedding was over. The photographer was trying to get us all in order, and it was a picture that was taken from the balcony of the church, and no one was looking at the photographer. It was obviously by a family member or a friend. Everybody was just milling around. And for just a second, I was standing there in a tuxedo, looking at the white garden chairs that we had to move into the church because there were no pews yet. It was a brand new church. And the white wall behind the altar that I personally had painted the day before. Standing right there just for a second while I was sitting in my living room. You get this? Perpetual present tense? That's the nature of tonight. We're here to celebrate the birth of Jesus right now. There's another characteristic to tonight, which is it's like every other great story in the world. Every other great story in the world has the kid version and the adult version, and they're going on at the same time. You think about the stories that you liked reading when you were a child and that you like reading to your children if you have them, and they're the stories that are funny on two levels, scary on two levels, meaningful on two levels. And that's this story, isn't it? That's this story. And this story begins almost with a once upon a time. It begins in those days. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. Children lean in. They're drawn into the story. As a matter of fact, this afternoon at 3:30, there was about 90 of them. And they were all in the story. And so they were leaning in for their part when they were supposed to move forward, when they're supposed to play their role. Children are drawn in by the beauty, by the adventure, by the danger, and the magic of this story. And simultaneously, adults are drawn in. The beauty, the adventure, and the danger, and the magic of this story, two totally different ways. Children notice the manger. They notice Mary riding on a donkey, and the sweet baby Jesus sleeping in the hay. They notice the shepherds and the wise men kneeling by a newborn baby. Adults see the same picture. But we look on with horror as Mary, a 9-month pregnant Mary, is riding a donkey. She's living in a barn. And there's a newborn baby sleeping in an animal's food bowl. We noticed the laborers with dirty hands getting way too close to this vulnerable little child and strangers knocking on the door in the middle of the night. Children look on with happy acceptance as God is born into the world. A human being doesn't bother them at all. God is born into the world, a human being. They smile and nod. Adults look on with incredulity as God submits God's self to the life of humanity, trading in all the power of the universe to be cared for by inexperienced parents in a very unstable part of the world. Children take no exception to the presence of angels and of wise men coming in from the east, just kind of out of the blue. All makes sense to them. And adults, well, we smile and wonder about angels at all, don't we? But we do long for the wisdom in the world, no matter where it comes from. liminal time and two stories at once. As you all know now, after 10 years of Christmas Eves together, that I've always found that music helps us as we move into this liminal time. And we're blessed that so many of our Christmas hymns have this double layer and meaning and significance. They tell the sweet, beautiful story, and they also ponder and wonder about the majesty of it all. And hymn 97 has been chiming around in my head for a couple of weeks now. Just have a look. Hymn 97. Take out your hymnals. Especially you. 97. This hymn does as well as any other in the hymnal, doing both things at once. Dost thou in a manger lie, who hast all created? Stretching infant hands on high, Savior long awaited. If a monarch wear thy state, wear thy court on thee to wait, scepter, crown, and sphere. Here no regal pomp we see, naught but need and penury. Why thus cradled here? The hymnist asks a question. Asks a question of the baby Jesus, lying in the manger. And Jesus replies, for the world of love supreme brought me to this stable, all creation to redeem, I alone am able. By this lowly birth of mine, sinner riches shall be thine, matchless gifts and free. Willingly this yoke I take, and this sacrifice I make, heaping joys for thee. And in response to Jesus' reply, the hymn writer sings again, and we sing together. Sing it with me if you will. Christ we praise with voices bold, Lord and honor raising. For these mercies manifold, join the hosts in praising. Father, glory be to thee for the wondrous charity of thy Son and Lord. Better witness to thy worth, purer praise than ours on earth. Angel songs of Christmas Eve is the time when, regardless of what's going on outside this building, we make our way into this sacred place and enter into the perpetual present tense. Whether you came in a car full of happy or crying children, whether your whole family is happily gathered around the tree or yours is broken and cantankerous, whether you come in joy or in a deep grief because of a loss or a death that are too deep for words, whether you come with a bounce in your step or have to dig your way out of the rubble of your own life and crawl in on hands and knees, we all come in and we take our place. We hear the creak, the old wooden pews, as they bear our weight, We smell the hint of incense. We see the candles burning bright. We hear the organ and the choir lead us in familiar old tunes. We hear a preacher's voice, but maybe not the words. We hear a priest say, "And on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread." And we are there. Two places at the same time. We are here and in the manger. We are here and in the upper room. Both are here right now. God is here right now. Emmanuel.